Well, welcome to your announcements. We've got lots of stuff going on.
Yeah, this Christmas season, I'm sure calendars are getting full. We've got some opportunities for you as well.
Yeah, you betcha. First up is a lunch, a Christmas lunch for retirees.
Right, yeah. So on December 14th, here at our Wilkinson Road campus, we've got a Christmas luncheon at 12 o'clock for the retirees and friends. If you're interested in coming, we encourage you to hit the website and sign up. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. And then, of course, in a few weeks, we're going to be doing Christmas Eve services.
Yeah,
so we're going to have two services at our Wilkinson Road campus at 4 p.m. and 6 p.m.
Perfect.
And then we're going to do a candlelit traditional service at our Centennial Park campus at 8 p.m.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's some little invites, actually, at the back of the church that people can grab this week, and they can invite their friends.
Yeah, even as you're describing that, the two here at Wilkinson, and then you can just hear you're just... just chilling a little bit. That service at CPC is going to be fantastic with they're all going to be great.
Yeah.
But we also just know with your schedules, it's hard to know when to go. And so we just offer these three offerings for you, those services. We encourage you to invite a friend up.
You betcha. It's going to be great. And then, alas, we cannot forget.
Right.
Serve the City. Yeah. We're in the midst of everything. And so we're just finishing up with 1UP. We need your gifts back ASAP.
Yep.
And we're rolling out our Angel Tree phase this Sunday, right now.
Yeah, and those tags are at the back of the auditorium, just like the original ones with 1UP. And you'll need to bring those back by December 18th. So we just are grateful again. And you know, we were just talking about this week as a staff. You guys just every year step up and meet those needs. So thank you. But if you're interested in help with Angel Tree, at the back of the auditoriums, we'd love to have you serve that way.
You betcha. And if you have any questions or if you wanna know a little bit more about Angel Tree or what's going on with that, you can check out our website. All the information for all of the events and for all of the Serve the City things are all on there. So you can find it there.
Thanks, Kim.
Yeah, see you guys next week.
Awesome. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome. If you're able to, we'll invite you to stand with us as we begin to worship today. And as we begin to worship, we want to acknowledge with gratitude that we are worshiping on the traditional territories of the Wasanich and Lekwungen peoples. And I ran to the back. I checked my mailbox. I don't have a call to worship this morning. So let's just open with a word of prayer. And we'll get into singing some songs of praise. So, Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for this place that we're able to gather in your presence and in each other's presence, God. Just thank you for the gift that is. Thank you for the gift of this season as we celebrate your coming down to us, God. Your willingness, your humility. To be made flesh and to come and to dwell with us, God. So we just thank you. We praise you for that. I pray that you would just continue to reveal yourself to us in new ways so that we can just have a truer, better picture of who you are. God, you are good. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, let's worship together. Now long.
Come now long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free, and from our cities and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. set thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us, let us find our rest in thee. Come now, long expected King. Star to a place unexpected. Would you believe after all we've projected? A child in a manger, lowly and small, the weakest of all, unlikeliest hero, wrapped in his mother's shawl, just a child. Is this who we've waited for? Down from their thrones, how many lords have abandoned their homes? How many hurt, poured out their hearts for me?
How many gods?
And how many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that is torn all apart? And how many folks gave up their sons for me? Bringing out gifts for the newborn Savior, all that we have, whether costly or mean, because we believe. Gold for his honor and frankincense for his pleasure and mercy. For the cross he'll suffer. Do you believe? Is this who we've waited for? And how many kings stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? How many gods have poured out their hearts? Romance a world that is torn all apart. How many fathers gave up their sons for me? So you're a good, good father. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. Down from their thrones, how many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? And how many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that is torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me? Only one did that for me.
Thank you.
love incarnate. Love incarnate, love divine. Star and angels gave a sign. How to babe on bended knee. The savior of humanity. Unto us a child is born. He shall reign forevermore. Noel, Noel, come and see what God has done. Son of man, there before the world began, born to suffer, born to save, born to raise us from the grave, Christ the everlasting Lord. Shall reign forevermore. Sing Noel, Noel, Noel. Come and see what God has done. Thank you for that, God, that you are the light of the world given for us, Lord. And I pray just as we continue on in this service, just everything that we do, God, from the lighting of the Advent candle to hearing the sermon to singing these songs, God, all of it just points to you. Yeah. Amen. So we are going to have Danae come up and light our next Advent candle.
Candle. we're going to try to light the love candle.
There we go.
Okay, Jake is going to try to light the love candle while I finish reading this. Scripture today is, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." John 3:16, NIV. This is probably the best known verse in the Bible. John 3:16 is flashed in ballparks and memorized in Sunday school classes. Why is it so beloved? Because it tells us about God's love. The reason that the Father sent his Son on Christmas Day. He gave his one and only Son that Christmas morn. Why? Because he loved the world so much. Not the physical globe, but the people whom he had created. Struggling, confused, exuberant, depressed, striving, and sinful. He still loved them. He loves us. That is why Jesus came. In the way Jesus relates to hurting people, we can see that love, that compassion. His gentle words, "My daughter," to the woman who touched the hem of his garment. His encouragement to Peter, who had betrayed him, "Feed my sheep, Peter. I haven't given up on you." His compassion for the crowds, whom he saw as sheep without a shepherd. Jesus came to earth out of the Father's love, and in spite of persecution and crucifixion, even a history of saints and sinners inside and outside of his church, his love for us is undiminished this Advent season. Let's pray this prayer together. Father, thank you for your undeserved love that envelops us and saves us, that fills us with your Spirit, and includes us in the momentous plans of your kingdom. Thank you for loving us, and help us to love you and love others more and more as you have commanded us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. We welcome you to stand with us one more time as we just respond to this song. This is probably gonna be fairly new to some of us, but there is part in there that'll be familiar, so feel free to sing along as you get familiar with it.
Empty tomb, it's not there for us. the King of heaven, and oh come, let us adore him. Come, let us adore him, for he alone is worthy, Christ the Lord. And we give you all the glory.
Declare that together, Lord, that you are worthy. We give you all the glory and we'll praise your name forever. God, and I pray, just as we continue on, that our hearts and our minds would be open to receive your word, to hear your voice, and to be changed by it, God. You are good. And we love you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, you can take a seat.
Hi, everyone. Christina and I are here on behalf of the Leadership Board of the Church to sincerely thank you for all your support and your commitment to the church over the last 3 years, particularly. We want to thank you for your prayers, your financial giving, your generosity of time, volunteering here at the church, as well as ministering to those in need outside our church and the larger community.
Yeah, and as we enter into this Christmas season, it is a time where we as a community just get to acknowledge God's generosity towards us, and especially as we are celebrating the greatest gift that God has given us in his son Jesus coming to this earth as a baby and bringing light and life and hope to all of us. And so this is a season where we respond to God's generosity with generosity ourselves, and you guys are already doing that as you're partnering with One App Single Parent Family Resource Center and Angel Tree with Service City. You guys are being generous this season.
And if you are in a position to do so, we would greatly appreciate if you would consider an extra donation to our own church, in addition to those ministry areas and partners that we've been working with. As we prepare for a new upcoming season of ministry, activities, and events, we're blessed to be a blessing.
But we are so grateful that we are able to partner in ministry with all of you. It has been a wonderful year of just watching God work through us, the body of Christ. And we anticipate another year of partnering with God and seeing what he wants to do through us. So thank you.
And Merry Christmas.
We have like these brand new projectors that just make everything super clear.
But it's lovely to be with you, and kids, it's been so fun having you here with us. But you are free to head to the back. Shyla is there and would love to take you up, where they're going to be learning the exact same lesson that we're going to be learning this morning together. So this morning, we are officially starting our Advent sermon series. Advent started last Sunday. We lit the first candle, but we're starting just our short Advent series this Sunday. And I was thinking this week, is that me? That growing up, I didn't have many Christmas traditions. As a family, we just didn't have lots of Christmas traditions. But I've started a new tradition myself. And the tradition is thinking that it's too early to start Christmas stuff, and then realizing that Christmas is just a couple weeks away. And I've like stuck with that tradition this year. I haven't done Christmas shopping. My house is not decorated. All that Christmas baking that I want to do, haven't started that yet. And Shiloh was telling me this morning, oh, there's only two more Sundays before Christmas. I'm like, oh, sorry. Oh, no. Anyway. So maybe you are not like me at all, and you are so prepared already for Christmas. But I think either way, Christmas is just this chaotic season that even though we know it's coming every year, it just kind of at least catches me off guard. Everything is a whirlwind, and then it's done. And then in the middle of it, we go like, oh, yeah, and Merry Christmas, Jesus was born. Yay. And so as a staff, a couple months ago, as we were thinking about the Christmas season, what we wanted to be doing for Advent, we all just recognized that really what we need to do is just give everyone just a moment of pause to just kind of create a space for a moment in the middle of the chaos of Christmas to just pause and behold our God. Pause and behold our Savior, our King, our Creator. And so that's what we're going to do over the next few weeks, is just every Sunday stop and behold our God. We just sang that song by Phil Wickham, Behold, and that's kind of where we got a lot of our inspiration for these next few weeks. And there was a line when we were reading through the lyrics, there was a line that just stood out to me. And it was the line, behold the Father's love. And why it kind of stood out among the other ones is everything else feels very familiar. You know, behold the Savior, behold the King, all that stuff we sing. But very rarely do we talk about a God the Father during the Christmas season. And that line, behold the Father's love, for me it was as if Christmas is this, like, we celebrate this moment in time. There was a moment where God entered into time and space. There was a baby in a manger. There was Mary and Joseph. There were angels, shepherds, wise men. This moment in time. But when I think about the Father's love, it's almost as if we like zoom way, way back. And we see that like before the foundation of the world, that love was there. And then you trace it throughout Scripture. You see it in creation, the way that God created our world, the way that God formed humans. And then only a couple chapters later, sin enters the world. But even then, you can see the Father's love as he gives this promise of there one day is going to be that serpent head crusher, right? He was going to send someone who is going to rescue the whole world. And then you keep going and you read the story of God's chosen people, the Israelites, who are so fickle and they're not faithful to God, and God is so faithful to them. And we read this phrase over and over that the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. This is the Father's love traced through history. And then at just the right moment, God sent his Son. And his love, the Father's love, was expressed in this new way, this complete way, in the arrival of Jesus. And I was thinking, last year, one of my best friends had her first baby. Baby Micah, which is like very on brand for SBC. But I can hold that baby and I can stare at that baby for hours. And in part, it's because he is just so cute. But mostly, it's because of what he represents. I have known my friend since she was that size. We probably didn't understand that we knew each other at that time. But I have watched like her grow up with me. And I know the pains and the struggles and the joys. I've watched her fall in love and get married. And then together, they've made this beautiful baby. And so when I hold Micah, I'm seeing a beautiful baby. There's lots of beautiful babies out there. But this one is so special because it, of everything he represents, of all that history with my friend. And maybe this is an illustration that's kind of stretching it, but I think that's what I imagine when I hear that phrase, the Father's love, behold the Father's love, is staring at that baby in the manger, looking at the baby Jesus and everything that means and how that transformed the world, but then also going, oh, but behind this baby, behind that cute face, is this whole history of the Father's love for us. Like, that's amazing. And so this morning, that's what I want to do, is just give us a moment to pause and behold the Father's love for us. And looking at Scripture, the best person to do this, I think, is the Apostle John. He talks nonstop about God's love. So we're going to kind of settle in to 1 John chapter 4. And in verse 9, John says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." And that verse sounds very familiar, or sounds very close to the verse that Danae read for us, right? John 3:16, we all know that verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God the Father revealed his love to us by sending his Son. He loved his creation. He loved humanity so much that he willingly gave up his Son, knowing that that meant that he was going to die. He was going to die so we could live. That is the Father's love for us. But what's cool is that it's not just that moment that demonstrated God's love. I think we need to look at it a bit closer when it says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." And that phrase, "among us," it reminded me of John 1, verse 14. Right? "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." And so the Father's love, I think it wasn't just revealed in that moment in time where Jesus was born. The Son of God was living like in the moment in this world. God demonstrated his love among us. The Father's love was demonstrated as Jesus lived among us, right? Jesus said, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." The Father's love was demonstrated both in him sending his Son and then in the way his Son lived among us. And it's so important that we start there in our understanding of what love is. We need to start with the love that was demonstrated through God sending his Son to live among us. And the reason that I think this is so important is because when we start finding our definition for love from human beings, it becomes a very twisted, broken definition of love. Because I think of how many people struggle with the idea of a loving Heavenly Father because they didn't have a loving earthly father, right? It's taking this understanding of human love, of a father, a human father's love, and then putting it onto God. Or what about those of us who just struggle with fully comprehending that God could love us in our current state. Doesn't it seem like sometimes, oh no, I have to become better, I have to change this, I have to get rid of this in my life for God to love me? And why do we think that? Because we know how fickle, how conditional our own love is, or we've experienced that from others. And so we need to go, right, God's love was demonstrated through Jesus. If we want to understand what love is, we need to look at Jesus. And John says this even clearer than the verse I just read about how God showed his love among us. The next verse, he says, this is love. Do you want to know what the definition of love is? This is love. Not that we loved God. So it didn't start with our kind of love. That's not what love is. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's the starting place for our definition of love, is looking at God's love towards us in sending Jesus. John says a little earlier in this chapter, and then he says it a few verses down, God is love. Remembering that John was one of Jesus' disciples, he walked with him, he lived with him, he listened to him, he watched him, and after spending all that time with Jesus, he says, God is love. That's the best way to describe who Jesus is. This is not just that he was loving. This was his nature. This is the Father's nature. He is love. And so if we want to know what that means, we look at the life of Jesus. And Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by being obedient to death, even death on a cross. That is the nature of God. Jesus, having the very nature of God, took on the very nature of a servant. The nature of God is love. The nature of God is Jesus living out that love by becoming a servant. He didn't just teach about love, he actually lived it out. So when he said on the Sermon on the Mount, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you, he was doing that. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. These are not just words he spoke. This is the life he lived. This was an active love. And it wasn't just reserved for the people who loved him back, right? It was an unconditional, a sacrificial, like a no strings attached kind of love that was for all, even his enemies. This is the Father's love demonstrated through Jesus living among us. This is the 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love, right? Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. I was listening to the stories that Danae was sharing when she was reading that Advent reading. Those stories of Jesus, his compassion, his kindness, that is the love of the Father for us. God is patient with you. He is kind to you. He's compassionate to you. He doesn't keep records of wrongs. He protects, he trusts, he hopes, he perseveres. His love never fails. This is the love the Father demonstrated through Jesus. And so my prayer for all of you is that this Christmas, in the midst of the chaos, or maybe you're super organized and it's just calm, whatever it is, wherever you are in your relationship with God this season, my prayer is that you will be able to experience how wide and long and high and deep the love of the Father is for you. that you can take the time to behold Jesus, that baby in a manger, but in doing so, behold how great the Father's love is for this world. But I don't know about you guys, but for me, reading about love, trying to like logically understand love is challenging. And I think it makes sense because love is something we experience. And even like in these verses, God demonstrates love. It was always there, but we experience it because it's being demonstrated. And as I was writing this sermon, God showed me such great love this week. He demonstrated his love. There are times in our lives where we just need to rely on faith, when we have to look back and go like, oh yes, God, you are loving, and I may not see it, but I believe it, and I'm going to hold on to the fact that you're a loving Heavenly Father. And then other times, he just shows it so clearly to us. But when I look back to this week, and I look back through all my life, and I see God demonstrating his love for me, there's like a theme, a trend in each of those moments. And it's that God showed me his love through human beings. And I know I said if we start with humans, a human definition of love, we're getting a twisted, we're misunderstanding what love truly is. But when human beings don't start with human love, that conditional, that weak, that fickle love, when we start with the love of God, God uses us, he uses human beings to demonstrate his love to the world. When we continue in 1 John, verse 11, John says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another." Verse 12 is incredible to me. "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us." Let me read that again. "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us." His love reaches its aim in us. So God demonstrated his great love for us in sending Jesus. Jesus demonstrated the Father's love. And then when we show love, God lives in us and we demonstrate the Father's love. Maybe I'm the only one, but isn't this mind-blowing? God lives through us and we demonstrate the love of God. His love is made complete in us. This is amazing. And that can feel like a lot of pressure, I think, to be like, I have to be God in the way I love. Like, my love's not that strong. But again, thinking back to this week, the way that I experienced God's love for me was people doing basic things like showing up, having joy, listening, showing kindness. These were not incredible things, and I'm certain that none of them understood that they were demonstrating, that they were completing God's love. But I know that I've been sick for a week and a half, and I have felt drained and tired, and someone just showing up was like, oh God, you see me and you love me. In those moments where I was like, I don't even know what to do, I'm too busy and I have no solution for this, and someone said, I can do that, it was like, oh my goodness, God, you see me and you love me. Those people were demonstrating God's love, but all they were doing was just being obedient. All they were doing was just responding in kindness to the things that were in front of them. We, as God is living in us, as we have experienced God's love, and then we go out and we love the way that Jesus loved in simple ways, his love is made complete through us. That's an incredible truth. And what's difficult about this message is I'm not sure if you can get a simpler Christian message than love. Like, we all know it, and we've heard it a lot, and honestly, writing this on paper, every time I would read what I wrote, I was like, ugh, because it just sounds like Jesus loves you, which is so true, but we've heard it too much that sometimes we can lose the power of this message. But as a reminder, Jesus said that the greatest commandment, and the commandment that actually kind of summarizes all of Scripture, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is what we are called to as believers. This is the main thing that we are called to do. We behold, we experience the love of the Father that was demonstrated through Jesus. We experience it for ourselves, and then we go and we share that same love. That love that doesn't require any reciprocation. That love that exists even when someone would be deemed our enemy, right? That love that is just kind of done, and no one may ever really completely realize what's happened, but we just do it because God first loved us. We love, and by loving, the world can behold the Father's love. And so this, I feel like, is the place we have to start this Christmas season. Beholding the Father's love for us. And then being inspired to go and love our world so that the world can behold that same love. So let me pray for us today. Yeah, God, I am overwhelmed by your love for us. That you would send your son, knowing that he would ultimately end up dying for us. What awesome, powerful love that is. God, I thank you for the life of Jesus that just shows over and over and over again what kind of love you have for us. That never-ending, that patient, compassionate love. That love that existed even while we were still sinners. Yeah, this is such basic truth. This is the thing we have heard over and over again. But God, I pray that today, that throughout this season, we will truly comprehend how much you love us. How much you love us as individuals, but how much you love this world. So that we can go out and we can see people the way you see them. That we can have compassion on those that we may struggle in relationship with. That we may just have a heart that is overflowing with love because we recognize your love for us. God, this truth that your love is made complete in us, I can't even fully comprehend what that means, but I thank you for that gift. I thank you that we are a part of this story that started before creation, that led to Jesus, and that now continues through us. God, we want to be open to you using us so that the world can behold you, so that the world can behold the Father's love. Yeah, we are so grateful. We praise you. We thank you. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Going to lead us in a song and do some other things here.
Sorry about that. It's good conversations today. If you're able to, I invite you to stand just as we receive our offering this morning.
And behold the Father's love beyond all comprehension. He gave his only Son to die in our place. And go and see that empty tomb. He's not there, for he is risen. Every heart prepare him room. Jesus Christ, the King of heaven, and oh come, let us adore him. Come, let us adore him, for he alone is worthy, Christ the Lord.
And we'll give you all the glory.
Song just sort of builds with that intensity and that anticipation of being able to praise him. And we pray that as we go through this Christmas season, as we gather together, that we will truly understand what it is to adore him. We've got our Christmas Eve services. We mentioned that earlier. There are cards at the back in the lobby, a few different places. If you want to invite someone, I think that would be amazing. So feel free to grab 1, 10, whatever, and take these, and you can invite some folks out to our services. If you've come here this morning and you just need some prayer, there will be people up front here who would love to pray with you. If you're maybe new to SBC, it's good to have you here. If you're online, maybe for the first time, we just love to be a part of community with you. And so you might want to talk to me after the service, maybe fill out one of those cards that's in the chair back in front of you. You can hand that to me or drop it off at the back of the auditorium. We'd love to get to know you, maybe answer some of your questions. Let me just read this benediction for you. This is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and then you can be on your way. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word this Christmas season. God bless you. Thanks so much for being here. Have a wonderful week.